The book of Deuteronomy, if you'll look there with me for a few minutes here tonight. All my mind, you know, in these recent days has been personal revival. You know, we've heard a lot of different things that have been said about the decline of our nation and the direction that we're in. And we know it's this is not just something that's happened in the last week. This has been a continual and a gradual decline that we're experiencing in our nation, a turning away from the Lord. I was reminded of this account of the children of Israel whenever they came up to the Promised Land. And, of course, they went in, those spies went in, and 10 of the 12 came back with an evil report, the Bible says. It was a report of unbelief. And their words were so powerful that everybody else then, in the entire nation of Israel, the Bible says that they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And so as a report of just as or as a result of the evil report, then it had an effect upon their faith and their spirit. And not only did it touch their heart, but it affected them to such a degree that they weren't allowed to enter into the Promised Land. And they turned around and spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And the only thing I could think of is how tragic to be so close to the blessing of God and the promise of God and not enter in. A lot of lessons to be learned in this, but I guess one of the most powerful lessons is that how powerful that our words are. We know that life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can speak words of discouragement and hopelessness, and it seems like sometimes people that talk the most negative and discouraging, and it's almost as if you have to resist that spirit and to be able to get beyond it and get above it. I don't believe that we should be unrealistic or not see the challenges and the problems that are before us. Obviously, they're there. And but when it comes to the promises of God, when it comes to what God has spoken, then that's not something to be debated. And it's certainly not something to be doubted, as those spies did. Joshua and Caleb, they came out a completely different perspective. We're well able. We can do this by the power of God. We can go in. We can possess the land. But the overriding voice of hopelessness and despair and doubt and unbelief, it affected the spirit of the whole nation. And they all, then, that was an entire generation that died in the wilderness. And what a heartbreak. What a sad thing to happen when people had such potential and such promise and such a blessing that was just right before them just for the taking. Let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now these words are being spoken to that second generation and to those that were the children of those who died in the wilderness, that generation that passed away in the wilderness. These words were spoken to their children. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days journey from Oreb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And remember, Kadesh Barnea was the area that they were encamped on, right on the edge of the Promised Land. That was Kadesh Barnea. Right on the edge of the Promised Land. This is where they were, where they could have made a step of faith and move forward. But instead, They went back into the wilderness because of their unbelief. It was just 11 days' journey from Horeb, or from the mount of where Moses received the law, to Kadesh Barnea, only 11 days' journey. But they spent 40 years wandering around and around and around and around and around until that generation died in the wilderness. Verse 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare his law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, talking about the mount of the law, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. You've dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, take your journey. And he could have added in there, it's just 11-day journey. Take your journey and go to the Mount of the Amorites and go into all the places, die thereinto in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, under the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. So here again is a second generation given the command. You've been going around this mount long enough. You've been round and round and round. You've been traveling in circles long enough. Let me just say just a few things about this here tonight. This is as it relates to revival, personal revival, and church-wide revival, and national revival. It starts with us individually. Amen. Amen. I've heard people say, well, if that one would get straightened out, or if this would happen in the church. But really, real revival will take place whenever we all take personal responsibility for it. Every one of us. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, Lord. I'm the one. I need to move in to greater things, Lord, that you have for me. I believe that there's a lot of things in this message, but first of all, we need to be reminded that God is the God of second chances. Failure is never final. Amen. There is always hope when you put your trust in the Lord. I've heard so much despair in the last week. You know, we're going down the tubes and it's hopeless and nothing is. But the thing that's been so strong in my spirit, and I made reference to it Sunday morning in the service, and that is that, God, you knew that I would live in this time. You knew that we would be living in these days. And you created us and you placed us where we are at the time that we're in, because you have a task for us. You've called us to face the challenges of these days. Not to roll up in fetal position and say, Lord, what's going to happen to us? Out of fear. But instead, it's the will of God that we recognize that God works, and he's even is working in all of this evil and all of this that's going on in our world around us right now. That God is a God that can bring about hope and deliverance. And he still wants to raise up a church that is revived. A people of God that are revived. Amen. And are serving the Lord faithfully. Another verse of scripture is, it relates to this, or actually it's three verses that relates to this very story, is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 3 through 6. He says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore then shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. These words were spoken to that second generation, the Lord saying, I've taken care of you. Even though you went back in unbelief, even though you dishonored my name and my promises, I still have taken care of you. Do you understand that we're living daily because of the mercies of the Lord? Amen. God's merciful to you and me. He said, I've allowed all these things to come your way, and they are to humble you, to make you depend upon me with this manna raining out of heaven, to put your trust in me and understand that I took care of your clothes. They didn't wear out. Your shoes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't swell. I took good care of you. I provided for you all through difficult time. And the message, I think, is that God can work whenever there is failure and hopelessness and despair. God is still at work, and he's at work right now if we'll put our trust in the Lord. I encourage you to see, in light of events in our world right now, the need for us to experience a personal revival. Oh, God, move in our hearts individually. Lord, change us individually. Help us, Lord. You know, we do get proud, don't we? We do get proud. And we don't recognize how much that we desperately need the Lord. But all the while in our failure, God is there with us, and he's providing for us, and he's the God who gives another chance. He's a God who's faithful. When we would give up, God doesn't give up. I just believe, I know that we're in the last days. I don't know how things are all going to wrap up, but I do believe that the church, if I understand the scripture, the church is going to go out strong. It's going to go out victorious. And so I want to be a part of that. I want to enter into that and not allow doubt and failure and hopelessness to be our destruction. Amen. The word was, you've been traveling around in these circles long enough. You're just going in circles long enough. You know, that's not the will of God. It's not the will of God that you stay the same. It's just not the will of God that you stay the same, spiritually speaking. He wants you to press in. He wants you to grow. He wants you to learn. He's always able to teach us and for us to learn new things. That I'm thankful that there is a freshness. It doesn't have to be stale. I do know over the years from experience that when I get before God and I ask God, Lord, I just need to hear your voice, and I need you to speak to me, and I need you to help me at this particular time. Let me know what to do and what to say. And whenever I get honest and sincere before the Lord, there are fresh new things that God speaks to my heart. You spend time in the presence of the Lord, and you don't have to worry about things being dead and stale, and you don't have to stay in that same routine of just spiritual death. You can move into new life and new victory and new hope that comes from our God. Amen. So you've been wandering around this wilderness long enough. You've been traveling in this circle over and again enough. Now, their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God took care of them. But whenever you read and study about their experiences, they pretty much fought the same enemies over and over and over again. Their enemies were always pursuing them. Their enemies, they were always facing the same problem over and over and over again. Now God is saying, you need to get up and you need to move. You need to make a turn. Go back. I don't know why, if they were blinded or if they just
believe the lies of their fathers that said that promised land is full of giants and there's no way that we can possess it. They must have believed their fathers to keep them from pursuing it. But now they're hearing a word from God himself through Moses, who is saying to them, turn you, take your journey, and go back to that land that has been promised. I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. It's yours. Revival is yours. Amen. It's yours to possess. It's ours to possess as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In these last days, historically, God has moved mightily in dark, dark times in the history of this nation, in the history of other nations. It gets dark and dark and dark until it almost seems hopeless. And then God lights a fire in the heart of someone or in the hearts of a group of people. And they raise up with faith and confidence in the Lord. And they begin to seek God with a new desire and a new hunger to obey the Lord. Amen. So revival is whenever we hear from God and we believe His word and we act upon it and we stop, you know, the deadness, the dryness, the staleness, and the, you know, what we've, you know, the routine. I know that a lot of us are routine people and we like our routine. We like our coffee when we get up in the morning and we like, you know, we have our little routines that we follow. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I just want to encourage you. Let the Lord start speaking some new things to you. Let the Lord turn your attention away from the circle and the cycle that you have been in and move into some things that He has for you right now. These times are changing, and so we need to change too. We need to change. No, not by taking in and becoming like the world, but we need to make some changes. To believe God, to move in the midst of all that's going on in our world right now. Amen. Is it a bad thing to look back on what God has done? No, not at all. It's not a bad thing to look back on spiritual experiences and victories with gratefulness. And hopefully we learn lessons. Hopefully that young generation, they saw what happened to their fathers. They saw what happened because of their unbelief. Hopefully that was one of the things that motivated them whenever God spoke to them. Get out of this circle, this cycle you're in. Turn and go back. The promised land is yours for the taking. Amen. It's not a bad thing to look to your past, learn from it, gain wisdom, experience from it. But don't stay there. It's a good thing to know about your past and to learn from it, but don't live in your past. You can't do that. You have to move forward. God is the God of new things. God is the God who continually is working, and He always provides for us a variety in our life. Amen. Even in creation, it was evening and morning and the daytime. It was nighttime. It was daytime. God instilling in our hearts as mankind the need for this change to be taking place, this contrast, this newness. Isn't that the wonderful thing about a new day? Amen. If you have a bad day and you come to the end of that day, that you can go to bed and say, well, praise God, tomorrow will be a new day. It'll start all over brand new and fresh and with... I don't have to live in yesterday. I don't have to live in what happened. The night and the day contrast and the newness of another day. That was God's design to show us the seasons. Today is July the 1st. From this day forward, the rest of the year, days are going to be getting shorter and gradually cooler. Hard to believe. But 10 or 12 weeks from now, things are going to be a lot cooler than they are right now. Not awful, too awful hot right now. So we may be in for really cold this winter. But God is the author of seasons.
He's the author of seasons. Who we start new days, we have new seasons, because God is a God who wants to lead us into freshness, into new things, into new revelation and new understanding of His purpose and His plan. Hallelujah. Psalm 92 and 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. God reveals Himself in the night seasons and in the morning seasons and the day. God reveals Himself in both of those seasons. Lamentation 3 and 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise God for new mornings. Amen. Praise God for new days. And thank God for the prospect and the promise and the hope of revival. That revival can come in the midst of the darkest of night. Praise God. Amen. And so we need to realize that failure isn't the end. It's not final. We need to recognize that there's always freshness and newness that God has for the church and the people of God. And then number three, we need to realize that faith causes us to be able to believe again. I'm convinced that that young generation had heard enough. It's hopeless. We can't go in. We can't possess it. They had to hear the word of the Lord. That's why Moses spoke to them and said, turn. You've walked around this mount long enough. You need to turn your direction and start heading back. It's just 11 days journey. Head on back to the border. Head on back to the promised land. And believe God. Believe His word. Don't believe all the lies. Don't believe, you know, CNN and Fox News. And don't believe all the hopelessness and the despair that's being promoted in these times that we're in right now. Don't believe all these lies. Believe the word of God. Believe that God can raise up people in the midst of the darkest of times to stir us and for there to be revival and a renewing of the things of God. Amen. Glory to God. We need to come to that place that we begin to expect and believe God once again. Amen. We've lived too long with just, you know, the staleness of the ordinary and just, I like to surprise people every once in a while in a church service, like I did Jonathan here tonight. I get to see from here the look on his face when I said, Jonathan, stand up and testify. Amen. Sometimes, you know, and I know that's a little bit trivial, but sometimes we need to get out of what we normally do. We need to break out of our routine and our ordinary. We need to, and we don't just need just little trivial things like that. We need the spontaneous working, moving of the Spirit of God in our lives, in our services, and all of our efforts that God, and our ministry to experience the hand of God. You've been circling this mountain long enough. It's time to turn. Turn. Take your journey. Go to the Mount of the Amorites and all the places nigh. Take that journey. Take that 11-day journey in the plain and over the hills and in the vale and in the south and by the seaside and to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon and unto the great river Euphrates. Behold, I have set this land before you. Go in, possess it. Possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Amen. The promise of revival, whenever God has promised in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It's not a promise that's conditional on what's going on in the society, the culture. It's not, I'll send revival if all the outside circumstances are conducive for revival. No, God has promised to send His spirit, His power for those who are willing to hear the voice of God. And to turn. Make a turn. Make a turn. And turn toward God. Turn toward the promises of God. Begin to enter into the things that God has for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Glory to God.
We're going to have to be willing.
We're going to have to be willing to for God to bring about some changes in us. Real transformation in us. Amen. And to lead us into a real personal revival.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's stand together and let's pray tonight about this very theme. Amen. Making a turn. I think we have to be honest with ourselves. We can point our finger at the liberals and say, well, we're in this mess because of all the liberals. But I don't like to hear it any more than you do, but in reality, where we are in our world today, we're facing a lot of the challenges that we are because the church, we're just not really what we need to be. We're not really what we need to be. Moving forward in power. Moving forward in the power of the Spirit. Make a turn. Make a turn. Break out of your routine. What you have been doing and hear the voice of God. Begin to step out in faith and believe God for personal revival, church-wide revival, nationwide revival. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to speak to us tonight by your Spirit. Help us to hear your word. Help us to hear the challenge, Lord, tonight. I know you're calling us, Lord, out of our routine. You're calling us, Lord, out of the rut. What we have been doing. We're grateful, Lord, for the ways that you have worked and moved in the past. But we know, Lord, that if we stay in this routine, if we stay in this cycle, Lord, we're never going to be able to enter into those wonderful promises you have for us. Stir your people, Lord. Stir us, Lord, this group, Lord. God, would you stir our hearts? Would you speak to us, Lord? Deal with us personally, Lord, about our needs. Lord, forgive us, I pray, of our backslidings and our hypocrisies. Forgive us, Lord, of our failures. Forgive us, Lord, because we're indifferent to the things of God. And help us, Lord, to be attentive to your voice. Listening and willing to obey your voice and to turn and to take hold the promises of God. Stir your people, Lord. Stir every one of us in this place, Lord. Move, Lord, and send revival. Send revival. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Oh, God, help us individually, Lord. I know I'm in need. I know I'm in need of your help, Lord. I ask, Lord, for your touch in my life. Lord, for a fresh anointing, a fresh touch. Lord, a fresh, Lord, experience in the Spirit. Oh, Lord, help me to be attentive to your voice, to be listening and obedient. God, do a work among your people, we pray in Jesus' name, glory to God, glory to God. Move, Lord, in every household, every family, everyone in this place tonight. Lord, help us to sense our need. Help us to sense our need. To cry out to you, Lord, with our whole heart. To not be complacent. To not be, Lord, satisfied. But, Lord, we would recognize that you have taken care of us, Lord. And we're grateful for that. And we know that you're with us, but there's so much that you have. For your people. Help us to move into that. Help us to move into that. To experience your outpouring. To experience your Spirit, Lord. At work among the people and in the church. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Oh Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, break us out of our routine. Lord, help us to hear your voice, follow your will. Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.